Welcome to PR After Hours, your weekly cocktail of news and interviews with leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. So pull up a chair in our virtual lounge. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will be right back after this.
Welcome to a special announcement from PR After Hours, your go-to podcast for all things public relations and marketing. We are thrilled to share some exciting news. PR After Hours has been recognized as one of the best in the business. We've been ranked number 18 in the prestigious FeedSpot 70 Best PR Podcast list for 2024. That's right, we're among the 70 best PR podcasts worth listening to this year. But wait, there's more. We've also been named a top 15 PR podcast by Refonic. We're honored to be acknowledged by such respected platforms in the industry. And of course, we couldn't do it without you. A huge thank you to our amazing listeners and sponsors for your continuous support. Your engagement and feedback fuel our passion for delivering insightful, engaging content each episode. So, raise a glass here in the virtual lounge and join us in celebrating, well, what we think is a pretty nice achievement. Stay tuned for more intriguing conversations, expert insights, and all the latest trends in public relations and marketing only on PR After Hours. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Virtual Lounge, listeners, where we have the pleasure of hosting Matthew Sanjari, a visionary entrepreneur whose journey is nothing short of inspirational. Matthew embodies the spirit of modern entrepreneurship, intertwining innovation with steadfast determination. And you ain't going to get one without the other and succeed, folks. So we're going to talk to him about that in just a minute. But over the past decade, he's not only launched several successful ventures, but he's also mastered the art of the business exit, something that's been on my mind lately. And if you're a regular listener, you know that. Can't wait to talk to Matthew about that. Celebrating a significant milestone in 2022 with the sale of his marketing consulting agency. I believe that's the right year. We'll double check. Today, he dedicates his expertise to coaching and consulting, empowering business across Canada, the US, and Europe. His philosophy is simple, yet profound. Every great business starts with a blueprint. And he's here to share the wisdom he's gathered along his remarkable journey. Matthew Sanjari, welcome to the Virtual Lounge.
Alex, thanks for having me. And I hope I live up to half of what that intro was.
Dude, you're on easy street. It was so easy to write that intro. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this guy, success, success, success. And you know, I just want to jump right in there with you on this. You're a guy who strikes me, I'm going to cheat. We chatted a little offline, but not much because I don't do that. But you strike me as a guy who knows when it's time to exit, when it's time for a new challenge. Could you just give us a little taste of that? You don't have to give us every little detail, but what is it about you that you just innately know when it's time to move on or do something new?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I actually didn't know that for a long time. That was a skill I had to learn, because naturally I'm a dreamer. I'm an optimist. And as a builder, I always, problems come up and you're like, oh, we can figure this out. Or something comes up, you're like, how can we turn this into an opportunity? But I think one of the things that I had to learn, and I actually went on this on a personal level in my emotional journey, was I need to live in reality. I need to live in reality with my business. And so, from a business perspective, and I'm sure you can appreciate, at some point you have to get down to the brass tacks. What do the numbers say, right? What do the KPIs say? And so for me, I was getting to this place where I was saying, I'm preaching to my clients that you need to make sure you get an ROI, you get a return on your investment. And I'm sitting here seeing my output of my energy increase, but I'm not seeing the increase on the revenue side, on the profit side that correlates to that. And so I basically, I felt like a bit of an idiot, if I'm honest. And I said, look,
I've been there. I know.
I can do one of two things. I can be the hypocrite who doesn't follow the advice that he gives, or I can actually start to ask questions about, hey, there's no shame in the game. No shame in what I've built. I built something awesome. Not everything's going to become nine figures. Not everyone's going to become a billionaire, right? Do I feel fulfilled? Am I happy with what I've done? And do I have the passion to keep sustaining this? And when I asked myself those questions, I quickly came to a place where I was like, nah, not there. Maybe it's time to plot and plan an exit. And so I started to go down that journey.
There's a lot. I got to a point after 14 years where I had this, listeners, regular listeners know this, but if you're not a regular listener, I've just closed my marketing and PR consultancy after 14 years and taking a job in higher education. It's my dream job. But I think I mourned the business a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like I mourned that lifestyle because I work for somebody else now. I mean, I had clients, but you know what I'm saying? I don't make my daily schedule completely anymore. And I have to drive to a job 4 days a week instead of, you know. But you know what? I am even more excited about the challenge and the exciting things that lie ahead than I do about looking at the past and kind of mourning that. I've got a lot of friends who are like you and I have been where they run their own shop and they're like, you're going to hate it. And you know what? I just don't miss it so much. So I feel a kinship with you in that regard is that you can look back, but when you're looking over your shoulder, you're not looking ahead, right?
Look, it sounds cliche. And I think that this just validates everything you've said, but I really do think it's about the why behind the what.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if you've got that why, like for me, I tell people, I said, look, whether it's marketing, whether it's real estate, whether it's now, you know, business coaching consultancy, I also worked as a pastor for years.
Wow.
I now remove myself and sit back and say, it actually doesn't matter what the skin is. It doesn't matter what the outside dressing is. What I've always aspired to do is see people become high performers and maximize their potential.
Yeah.
And so I did that in marketing. I did it when I was a pastor. You know, I did some of that in real estate, building and hiring teams and, you know, renovations and all that. And now I find myself, you know, probably at the true essence doing that. And I've convinced myself that I'm like, no, it's because my why has actually remained the same. That's my why. My why is I want to see the people that I build relationships with and I get into business with succeed. And so for you, when you say, you know, I didn't have that experience, you know, I'm loving my life. You know, all that screams to me is I think your why feels pretty concrete and the what that can interchange. But at the end of the day, man, as long as we have our why, who cares how it looks as long as we stay true to that.
Yeah. And the thing too about you though, and which I can see why you're a successful coach is that, well, one, you're just instantly likable. You're somebody I instantly am enjoying speaking with you. There's not like a nut to crack here. It's like, you know, Matthew's like, what you see, I think what you see is what you get with you, which is a warm person who's very enthusiastic about what he does and about helping people find the why. But I wanted to, and I did not know you were a pastor. I missed that. And, but that indicates to me, along with your other successful ventures, is that you're very good with people. And can you tell me a little bit about people you've worked with who perhaps don't have the same interpersonal skills that you do, but yet you still got to coach them up? Are there ways you can help them get to the why when they're maybe a little challenged on that score?
No, I feel like I'm somebody, and I don't know if you can relate to this. I feel like I'm somebody who's always had these thoughts, always had these ideas, but I've never been able to put them into these, you know, clever marketing catchphrases that everyone else gave.
Right.
But I think as I settled into this coaching and consultancy that I've been doing for about a year and a half now, it's this idea that I truly believe we build people, we'll build business, right?
Right.
Or we build people, we'll build organizations. And so as I'm working with people, and I tell some of my clients all this time, I tell some of my clients this all the time. I say, some of you are not easy to work with. I tell people because I'm so relational, right? Like I'm in the trenches with you, but that's okay. A great example is, you know, I've got a client, and one of the unique things about my practice is I function both on the strategic side and the implementation side. So I'm working with the owners and the entrepreneurs, but I'm also working with the operators. And I'm trying to bridge that gap. And I was working with an operator recently, and she's incredible, fantastic. But if she's bad at something, she really sucks at delegating. Really sucks at delegating. She's so good at knocking things out that it would take three people to do her job. She was very resistant to the idea of delegation. Matt, why would I go and do these things and train somebody and see them fail or see them mess up when I could get it done and get it done right? And of course, you know, we went through the whole business spiel about time being money and value and all that. But I really started at the root, again, going back to that why. And I said, look, you're a perfectionist and that has brought you this far. And it's actually amazing. That perfectionism is why you're such a great operator. Because you're not letting anything go out that door that's crap. You're not letting one person come through that door that's going to have a bad experience. So let's maximize the parts of that side of you, how you were designed, and figure out what parts of the business that really applies to. And then all the other parts where that control and that fear are going to hold you back, let's offshore that. And so we slowly started to work through that. You know, here we are 14 months later, and she's now actually hired a manager, bringing on a second manager, that actually responsible for the business. And more than the business growth, which obviously justifies my cost. I'm so proud of her that she's taken steps forward that I don't think she would have gone down if she hadn't considered, man, she was resistant to the idea, resistant to this, and she's a smart girl, but until she embraced, okay, these things that make me good, I can embrace them, and I can also recognize how these are limitations. And when I recognize that, and the sooner I'm able to come to terms and live in that reality, we're going to be able to offload some of these things, automate them, delegate them, maybe even eliminate them, and actually start to see progress.
Well, Matthew, you often emphasize the importance of balancing our professional plates, right? In your view, when is it crucial to remove, and you kind of touched on this, certain tasks to create space, and when is it perhaps more strategic to expand our capacity? It's got to be a case by case, right? You just told us a little bit in that regard with this example, but how do you personally navigate the decision-making process? Maybe that's a better question.
Yeah, I think, listen, I'm a visual guy, and so I love to lay it out, and I want people to see it because I feel like until people see something, even if they're not visual, they actually don't get the full account of what it looks like. And so what I'll do is I'll sit there and say, okay, one of the things I'll do is I'll always do two audits with a client. I'll say, let's do a time audit. How do you spend your time? And let's do a financial audit. How do you spend your money? Right? Both resources, both energy. Because at the end of the day, don't tell me what you're passionate about. Show me how you spend your time. Show me how you spend your money. And so I go ahead and I list everything. And now that I list everything and I've got all these tasks down and I'm just doing quick, okay, this takes me 30 minutes a week. This takes me an hour a week. I sit there and I actually start to see, and people get amazed because they start to realize, oh crap, I spend 7 hours a week on administration.
Ugh.
Right?
Easy to do. Easy to do.
Easy to do. And you know, we've all been there. We've all done it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh, I'm spending 5 hours a follow-up on billing things, you know,
Oh, yeah.
payroll, financial related items, whatever. And so when they get that visual, now I start to say, great, right? We can approach this one of two ways. And I think both are necessary. Number one, what are the things that this do you hate doing, right? What are the things that don't bring you joy and actually aren't filling up your cup? We can look at it that way. Another way to look at it, which is my preference, if I can get people to kind of run alongside me on this, is what's the most leveraging? Right? You may not like this, and we'll get to what you want to do eventually, but what's the most leveraging? Right? 80-20 rule, right? At the end of the day, 20% of your efforts are gonna maximize 80% of your output. So again, when I lay everything out for people, it's not me having to convince them, because part of my pitch, Alex, is always I tell people, and you know, maybe I'm a terrible salesman for this, but I say, hey, you're the expert, right? If you're bringing me in, let me just remind you, don't have an MBA, didn't go to Harvard, none of that on the resume. What I'm coming to do is I'm coming to help coach you and bring the best out of you and make you feel so empowered that you walk into situations and say, yeah, I am the expert. I am the one that owns this business. I am the one that knows this industry. I feel confident to move forward. So as we lay everything out, more often than not, it's a no-brainer. I actually feel very little resistance because you can see the light bulb go off and people go, oh crap. This is how I spend my time. This is how I spend my money.
Also, you've articulated that nurturing talent is pivotal in scaling a business and realizing these folks' entrepreneurial visions, right? So is there a transformative experience where focusing on leadership development substantially impacted your business? And how do you approach that balance between developing people and achieving those business outcomes? You've touched on it a little bit, but I'd love to dig a little deeper in there.
So in terms of me, in my experience, when I look back at the marketing business, and again, I'm very vocal. I am the biggest hypocrite. So any of the lessons that I'm trying to show people or trying to get them to, I've experienced for myself. And so I remember the marketing business, you know, especially I was working as a pastor as well at the time. I'm sitting here, people development, leadership, right? Let's grow your influence. Let's bring more people along for the journey. And I was sitting here with myself and one virtual assistant that I spent no time with, that I just gave tasks to. And that was the business. And the business was crumbling. And it never dawned on me until it did that I was like, wow, I am not building a pipeline. I'm not building a leadership pipeline. I'm actually just transferring tasks. I'm not teaching people responsibility.
That's a great one. Wow.
And so it was in that shift that I started to realize, okay, well, if I give people tasks, all I'm doing is validating whether they're competent at the task or not. But until I give people opportunities for mentorship and training by giving them responsibilities, that's how I can actually test and see, wow, what is this person made of? where do I see potential, right? And
Mm-hmm.
so oftentimes throughout my journeys, I started to, you know, I grew my team and I started to put some of them into leadership positions. I started to realize the people that I was promoting often weren't the most skilled or even the most talented, but they were the most coachable. They had the best attitudes. And I would have never recognized that until I started to, you know, make weekly allowances for that, bi-weekly
Right.
allowances. You know, we'd have coffee or we'd have a meeting every week. And sometimes it would just be, you know, just talking, just getting to know them a little bit. Things that I think get lost because sometimes business can feel so transactional.
Yeah.
And I felt like I wasn't being true to myself because I'm a relational guy. It's how I got into business. It's how I built business.
Me
And
too.
now that I've learned, it's how I'm going to stay in business.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, as an aside, it's funny. Two of my greatest mentors have been pastors. One who I lost a few years ago, seems elderly, but just like a second father to me. But the other was my former pastor who retired a couple of years ago. And we had lunch when I learned that I was going to take this new gig and close my business. And he was talking to me because he could talk about it. He was retired. So, you know, and I was moving on from some things. And we talked about how people kind of don't understand that a pastor and a church is got to be run in a business-like manner at the very least. I think that everybody's like, oh, he's the pastor. He's, you know, he's so sweet. All that. But he's still going to manage people. And he told me the key thing is to remember that these are people, and not every person is super nice. Not every person is competent. Not every member of the church, you know, but I think people forget that. Do you mind for just a second telling me, is he right about that as far as you're concerned?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? It's funny though, because I think that we all, whether it's church or organizations, I'd like to think that many of us have this blissful naivete, right?
Mm-hmm.
We approach things. And for me, that was a really hard reality. That hard reality, especially when I started my early days of pastoring, you know, I think the first time I started pastoring, leading people was 16 years ago.
Wow.
And getting into that, even at a young age, I was like, man, I'm well-liked. People want to do things with me. They want to do things for me. We're going to build teams. And then I started to realize, okay, I can't keep everybody happy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not even the goal. And I started to put myself and get caught in these like really difficult situations, but it was in those that I started to grow. And I think one of the things that I can take away from that season of my life, and I think has applied to everything, is at the end of the day, for me, leadership has always been about not just influence, but how do I influence people for their well-being and for the greater good, right?
Right.
And so within that, it really didn't matter whether they were difficult or not. I started to have to make hard decisions about whether this benefits me or suits me or not. I'm going to do right by people. And I'm going to make the painful, tough decisions that happen now so that hopefully we can all have a better future, a better tomorrow. And it's about committing to that. It feels so uncomfortable, but doing it over and over again, I think it builds so much currency and trust. And it's why a lot of those people stuck by me and stuck on my teams over the years.
Do you have and again, we're going back and forth on things you've touched on, but let's say somebody hires you, that you're a good fit. And I assume if you're anything like I ran my business, I kind of had to hire them too. I wanted to make sure I could work with them. I wanted to work with them. I don't know about how you feel about that. You can touch on that if you'd like, but can you tell us a little bit, if there's somebody out there listening going, I need to call Matthew, what's the process look like?
Yeah. So what we do is we just hop on a 15 to 30 minute call. And for me, and I know it may sound crazy, but for me, you know, your vibe and how we connect is so important, right?
Yes.
So I want to have a conversation with you and I want to figure out, like, if somebody comes to me, I'm going to be completely honest. I have turned down clients, mm-hmm. not because I didn't want the revenue, but because I was like, I just don't know that I'm going to be able to serve these people. And I
right.
don't know that it's actually going to get me where I want to go.
Great.
And so part of that conversation, I always ask two questions. And those questions for me are, how does success look like for you?
Yeah.
Right. And the second question that I always ask is a little bit more poignant, but I say, hey, you know what? Heaven forbid, God forbid, if something were to happen to you and you were out of commission for a month, what would happen to your business? Right. And those two questions summarize everything. That first question, it really weeds people out who are like, oh, I want to make $10 million. Great. That's a great goal, but that why is not big enough, right?
Yeah.
What does success look like? What does it look like in your mental health? What does it look like in terms of your boundaries with the business? What does it look like for your employees? What does it look like for the culture of your organization? I want people to tangibly give me success and define what that is, because then we can start to work together. I can start to say, okay, I can start to see the areas, right? You give me a goal of $10 million and say, well, go hire a marketing agency. Just get enough leads, right? And get enough business in the door, you can hit your goal. And that second question, though, I always find is really poignant, and it's where people will go into this introspective mode, because when I ask people what would happen to their business, there's this awkward phase all the time. People, sometimes they kind of laugh. They're kind of like, oh, what? And then pure panic goes over people's faces because they say, oh, crap. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. My business probably wouldn't survive a month. It would probably, and I've talked to one of my clients now. The way that I got this client was, they manage multiple locations of a franchise, over 50 employees. And they were like, I'm going to be honest, 30 days and this thing would go kaput. And I tell people, I say, then you don't have a business, you have a job. Because when you don't show up to your job, you don't get paid. Let's build you a business. And so that's why I hop on that phone call, because those two questions, they give me the pivotal liner or baseline of where we can go from there, right? What does success look like for you? And are we a good fit there? And also, where's your business at? Because it's going to give me a really good feel so that I don't pitch you an idea or a package or a retainer that doesn't make sense and undersells what you actually need or overcharges you for something you don't.
I always just am listening beyond what you said, which I totally agree with. I was always listening too, just to make sure. And maybe it's just another way of saying what you said, so forgive me if it is, but just listening to make sure they are grounded in reality. I without mentioning no names, but I sat down with someone who I also do ghostwriting business books and things like that. And I sat down with someone who was just really wanted me to write their business book for them. And it was this grand scope of thing. And I was just hearing a lot of, you're not really understanding what this process is, despite the fact that I've told you three times and I've sent you paperwork. And she's like, I'm not interested in all that. Let's just get started. I'm like, that's just flaky. I'm sorry. So you've got to have your flake detector on, I guess, is what I'm saying too. And listeners, I'm not trying to be unkind, but it's just that some people, their dreams way exceed their sense of reality, or they haven't done their homework to understand what it takes. And so that's something else that I think that at the time, I think it hurts feelings when you have to say, no, I can't help you. But in the long run, you're probably helping that person because you're not, because I could never sleep at night, Matthew, if I took their money and strung them along, even when I just knew I could, because I think you said that earlier. I just knew I couldn't probably give them what they needed, right? That's an ethical thing that I think you should really look for when hiring a consultant.
You and I are built the same way that way. Because I think for me at the end of the day, and I think this goes back to everything you just said, goes back to this idea for me that I'm like, I want people to be as clear as possible before they sign a contract. I want them to understand. I am not promising you that we're going to the moon. I am not selling you on something I am not. But in the same way, I want them to understand I am not your lifeline. I am not your savior. I am not your safety jacket. What I am here as is as a coach and as a consultant to guide you, to empower you, and to help you. And if you can live within that framework, right? So many people, they hear that like, oh yeah. I'm like, no. Let's get real clear. Let's get real clear. And so those two questions I asked, I think so much comes out of that that I start to get, and I love just reading people in general and learning that way, but I get so much information. Because if someone to that second question I presented to you, if I hear the oh crap, there's a level of humility that I'm like, we can work with this, right?
I like
Right?
that.
So.
That's fantastic. As we wrap up today's great conversation with Matthew Sanjari, I'm just reminded that these invaluable insights and transformative strategies that can emerge from the realms of entrepreneurship, leadership, and coaching, and Matthew's journey and expertise has illuminated those pathways for us. And I'm just really excited for this because I think that everybody out there listening, we should all at one point or another, well, maybe often, maybe daily, be reconsidering, optimizing how we can do our professional endeavors, develop the leadership that propels our visions forward, and embrace coaches like Matthew to uncover and surpass our blind spots. That's a huge deal. Matthew, where do we find you on the web?
Yeah, so you can go to my website, consultingbarprime.com, and for your whole audience, if you go to consultingbyprime.com/podcast, I've got a little free gift for you there.
Ooh.
Just, yeah, three steps to get your business to where you want it to go, to get unstuck, all that stuff. Consultingbyprime.com/podcast, or you can look me up on LinkedIn or Instagram. I love to connect with people. Matthew Sanjari, Sanjari, Sanjari. Love to connect with you.
And I will be doing so if I haven't already. And of course, listeners, I know if you're on the treadmill or you're in the car, you know, don't screech and stop in the middle of traffic. Don't fall off the treadmill. It's all in your show notes. Go to prafterhours.com or check your aggregator. But I'd like you to go to the website because it's so much more a rich experience to go look at the page we've set up about this episode, which will feature links and a great picture of Matthew, and the whole Magilla will be there for you. Matthew, I want to thank you again for sharing your wealth of knowledge with our listeners here in the virtual lounge. You know, as I've moved past this, maybe someday when I leave my dream job, I'll get back into consulting. And when I do, I'm going to re-listen to this episode to remind me not only of the smart things to do, but the right things to do. Matthew Sanjari, thank you for joining us here on PR After Hours.
Thanks for having me. Honestly, it's been an honor. Such a great conversation.
You know what that means? It's last call here at the Virtual Lounge. Be sure to visit prafterhours.com for links to what we discussed in this episode and more. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time for another round at PR After Hours with Alex Greenwood.